we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. And what a day this is. And you know, I've said before that we live in exciting times, and these are exciting times. There are days when I wake up, not unlike the rest of you, I'm sure, where I'm just like, I don't know, I don't want to do this again. Or I want to keep doing this. I want to stay home all the time. But God is in control. This is the day that He has made. I am choosing to rejoice in Him and to rejoice in the Lord at every moment possible. Last night when I was just going over my notes and praying and stuff, I was thinking about this whole idea of having to look into a camera while I'm teaching. And it's really foreign to me. It's not something I enjoy doing. I really would love to see your faces sitting in their regular seats, but you're not. You can't be right now, but it won't be long. It won't be long. And all I could think about last night was a song by Buck Owens. They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. And all I have to do is act naturally. Yeah, I ain't acting naturally. This is not normal. This is not natural for me. But that song goes on to say that we'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And the song says that the person, that they're sad and lonely, and all I gotta do is act naturally. Yes, I'm sad. And it makes me pray. It makes me pray because my mourning will be turned into dancing. My mourning will be turned into dancing. Yes, I get lonely, and it makes me run to the one who can fill my longing soul. I can run to Jesus. All I got to do is act naturally. Yes, I should be natural for us to go running to the one who is the lover of our soul. So I look forward to the days when we see each other face to face. I can't wait to see each other face to face again. I can't wait to hug you. I can't wait to just laugh and carry on. And I know a lot of us have been laughing and carrying on in different ways with Zoom, with all different contact things. But I just wanted to remind you, of course, I know that you've been praying at 7:14 in the morning and 7:14 in the evening, because now more than ever, it is important that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I need to humble myself so that I can pray and seek His face and turn from my wicked ways. Then He will hear from heaven, and then He can heal our land. So we need to really hang on to that. I know a lot of us were talking about that early on, but it is a continual thing that we need to be doing. So I want to remind you of the meetings that are going on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, 6:30. Pastor Bill is going to be teaching us through, taking us through Genesis. Thursday night, men's meeting. All of this is online. Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday, 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 11 a.m. And there's also the fireside chats that are going on at noon that you can also watch at another time. You can watch those on Facebook, refugefamily.com, or Refuge app, and whatever you're watching on right now. I just want to let you know, if there are any of you who are having trouble with the Zoom that we've been using, please let us know and we'll find someone who can help you rectify what's going on there. So God has got this. God's got this. And I want to remind you of that. Let me know the positive things that God is doing through these times. And I know there are a lot of positive things that God's doing as we walk through this time. So if you would let me know, just email them to me at joy@refugefamily.com. And I would love to see what God is doing in the way of good things. Also, if you have prayer requests that you would like to have prayed for by women, and you don't want it to go on the prayer chain, also you can email that to joy@refugefamily.com. And so please email that to me. And this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. So next week, we're going to be reviewing Ruth and Esther. We're going to be reviewing where we have been. And then the following week, we're going to start our teaching through the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk has only three chapters in it. And the Lord really pointed us to this time. We do have homework for you. And that homework is going to be available online on our website. Go to Women's Ministry, and you should find it there. It's not up yet, but it's ready to be put up. And as soon as that's done, you can pick up your homework. And I think it's probably going to be on a week-by-week situation where they come through for you. So there are three mega themes of the book of Habakkuk. Someone was asking me, why are we going to Habakkuk? Number one, we're going to Habakkuk because that's where the Lord told us to go. So that's where we're going to go to. So number one theme, struggle and doubt. You have had any trouble with struggle and doubt? You have any trouble of realizing God's sovereignty? And then it will end with lasting hope. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm excited to see how he's going to minister to us. I'm excited to see what God is going to open up the doors on all of this. And so we'll see where God takes us. And so, Father, I just lift up this time to you. Lord, what a pleasure it is to be in your presence, Lord, and to feel the presence of other people around me, Lord, to know that there are people that are hearing your word, Lord. There are people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after your word, Lord, after knowing you. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would continue to minister through the reading of your word, Lord, through the teaching of your word. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray together, we join together, Lord, that you would eradicate this virus in the name of Jesus. We pray against it in the name of Jesus, that the infection would go down, Lord, that we would be set free from it, Lord, and that you would do a mighty work through it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for those, I think of single moms that are struggling to make it during this time, Lord. I pray, Father, for your provision. I pray that you would let them know that there is help. Lord Jesus, would you cause us to walk in peace? In the name of Jesus, Lord, you would cause us to walk in peace, that you would cause us, Lord, to trust you with our whole heart, to lean on you, and to realize that you have got this. You've got this, and we're in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, as we go through this study, I thank you, Father, for it, and I pray for your direction in it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we go into chapter 9, I can't believe we're already at the end of the book of Esther, but as we left off last time, you remember that when we left off last time, that they had gotten the opportunity to put together an edict that went against the one that Haman had set up. So, and the one that Haman had set up was that they would all be, that the Jews could be attacked and that they couldn't protect themselves. So we ended up in chapter 8 with the Jews being able to protect themselves. And so now we're in chapter 9, and for some reason, I'm having a hard time getting into this today, but I'm trusting that God has is going to speak to us through this. As I was getting ready for it, I kept going, well, this direction, this direction, this direction, this direction. And just this morning, just the peace of God that just says, you know what, trust me. Trust me, I have a word for the ladies up there, so just trust me. So we ended up with that edict being canceled out, so to speak. And we start in chapter 9 with what was meant for evil, God turned to good. The enemy wanted to take the kingdom, but his plan is thwarted by the king's command. It is by the king's command. In the king's name, it was all thwarted. So the Jews gathered together, they worked together, each doing their part. They moved in authority and in the name of their king. And right now, we are all working together to walk through this time of war that we're going through right now, war against this virus, against this situation. And we are standing together. Everybody's doing something for somebody else. And that's the way that we grow. And that's the way that we continue to walk closely with the Lord. And so the enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy every good thing. But God is our refuge and strength. And he is that very present help in time of need. And so we are moving in the authority and the name of our king. And we start with chapter 9 now in the 12th month. And you remember, this is when it was supposed to take place, in the 12th month. That is the month of Adar. On the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed, on the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. The enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but their hope was in something that could not be, that couldn't follow through, because Jesus, or because God had his people. The opposite occurred in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Now, in the first edict, they could have not, they were not supposed to be protecting themselves. And yet, if they had protected themselves on the first edict, they would have been, if they came out alive, then they would have been lawbreakers, they would have been outlaws, and they would have been judged on that. But because of the new edict that was put in place, where they were able to protect themselves, this, they were able to overpower those who hated them. The Jews gathered together, they all worked together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all the people. They saw what God was doing through these people. They saw that there is nothing that they can come against them with. And all the officials of the provinces, the satraps, which are kind of like the mayors, the governors, and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. What? The fear of Mordecai fell upon them. You see, they knew what had happened. They knew what had happened with Haman. They knew what this new edict was that came through in the king's name. They knew about Mordecai. Mordecai had been a person of somewhat of notoriety before all of this came, but now they know that he is a man of God. and his God will uphold him. And so, for Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai became increasingly prominent. And that is the way that it should be in our lives, just with like the Holy Spirit. Mordecai was like the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Holy Spirit begins to take over more and more and strengthens us and leads us, guides us, directs us into the way that we should go. And verse 5, thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those, only those who hated them, only those who attacked them. There were people who did not attack them. But those who attacked them, they were able to overcome. And in Shushan, the citadel, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. And then it goes on to say that they also put to death all the 10 sons of Haman. Now, you remember, Haman's name means rager. He was a rager, just like the enemy, our enemy of our souls. He is a rager who always overplays his hand. Interesting that all of his boys were names that had self added to the end of it. So in the Hebrew, there would be a meaning of the name, and then self is afterwards. So I won't go into the names themselves, but one of them was that they were a busybody. Their name means busybody. They are a curious self. They were always finding out about everybody else's everything. One was self-pity, weeping self. Generous self, only it was generous to himself. Generous to himself. He always poured out his income on himself. Strong self, assertiveness, stubborn, the strong-willed person. Preeminent self, ambition. I gotta be number one. I gotta be number one. I gotta be it. A bold self. Look at me. Would you pay attention to me? Do you know who I am? You do? Oh, yes. Okay. So let me be here in front. The bold self, the dignified self, which was the prideful self. Prideful self. And then there was the pure self, the false purity that was just for looks' sake, just for looks' sake. Let me remind you that all of the names of these boys were all works of the flesh. Haman, rager, named all of his boys the works of the flesh. Interesting side note on that. And so the 10 sons of Haman, verse 10, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. Why did they kill? Why did they kill the sons? And why did they not take the plunder? You remember, Saul was supposed to do away with all of the Amalekites, and he didn't do it. He didn't do his job, and we find that in 1 Samuel that we talked about last week. But they didn't do it, and in the edict, they were allowed to take the plunder, but they refused to take the plunder because I'm not taking anything of the enemy to bring into my home. Nothing of the enemy is going to come in me. I want no part of the enemy's work. I don't want anything that has to do with them. It may have included idols. It may have included all sorts of things that were made of gold and silver, but they still did not touch them. Saul should have not touched them. And he didn't do the job that he was supposed to do, and now they had to deal with it here in Esther. On that day, number 11, verse 11, on that day, of those who were killed in Shushan, the citadel, which is the capital where the king and queen are, was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the citadel, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's presence, or in the rest of my provinces, is what he says. Now, what is your now? He would say to the queen, now, so I've come to trust you. I know that you are a woman of that I can be trusted. You are a woman of strength. You are a woman of power. And you serve a living God. And so what is your petition? What else would you like? It shall be granted to you. Or what is your further request? It shall be done. And so it's like, you know, we come to a place where we need to destroy the works of the enemy. And as we're destroying the works of the enemy, and we've taken that to prayer, and we don't see Saul walking in victory because he was only partially obedient. But while we may share in God's victory, while they are here sharing in God's victory, we may not share, we may not take his glory. We share in his victory, but we won't take his glory. She says to them that, then Esther said in verse 13, if it pleases the king, let it be granted of the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. So the king commanded this to be done, and the decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day. So Shushan, this is on the 14th day, the month of Adar, and killed 300 men at Shushan. So this is the next day. There was the 13th, there was the 14th. This was in the capital. This is only in the capital that this is going on, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's province, verse 16, gathered together and protected their lives and rested from and had rest from their enemies and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month, they rested and made it a day of fasting and gladness. So on the 14th, outside of the capital, they made it a day of rest and feasting and gladness. A day of feasting and gladness. And so they took care of all of that. Why did they have to go in and do it another day? They needed to finish the work. Have you ever been in a position where you're cleaning your closet, and as you're cleaning your closet, you run out of steam, and you don't get the job completely done, and it's obvious that it's not completely done? This job needed to be completely done. We needed to put off the works of the enemy in our lives. Put off the work of the enemy. And they had to deal with the sons. And she said that, Esther, if it pleases the king, it'd be granted that we should go there. But in verse 13, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Why did they have to be hanged on the gallows? These gallows were different than what we're thinking about with regular hanging around the neck. They were a stake. They were a thing that was, they hanged for all to see. It was like a stake, and they would have been impaled on it. People needed to see the consequences of Haman's family's actions. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And there it is for all to see, right there. This was not done in a lack of mercy, rather in maturity, knowing that the new generation, which had been steeped in the culture, the new generation needed to see the consequences of this sin. They have been steeped in the culture and the ways and the concepts of the enemy. The hatred, the irreverence, the animosity towards God have set the goal for the destruction of his followers. That's what they were at. Unless they too are eliminated, the battle will continue and the war will not be won. that the ultimate intention of the request was to establish a kingdom that pleased the king is further evidence in that they took none of the plunder. Saul was utterly should have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. So I got ahead of myself earlier, but here we are back where we should be. And he didn't take, and he wasn't to take all of this stuff. So we already covered all of that. So this is why they did it. They didn't do it out of just hatred. They did it because it was out of necessity that the generations to come, and that's what Purim is going, we're going to see that Purim is as well. And then in verse 17, where it says on the 13th day of the month, they rested and they made it a day of feasting and gladness, a day of feasting and gladness. Every day we have a choice. Every day we have a choice. It could be a day of doom and gloom, or it could be a day of feasting and gladness. We set the tone when we get up in the morning, and sometimes even before we get up in the morning. And so when we begin to sing in our hearts, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. About 1% of us like to do that in the morning. Most of us, when we get up in the morning, want to go in another direction. We don't want to hop up with, oh, this is the day that the Lord's made. Oh, yeah, everything is great. Everything everywhere is fine because everything everywhere is in the Lord's hands. Everything everywhere is fine. It is good because God's got this. Times are hard, but God is good, and he's walking with you. We set the tone. But everyone who will makes it a day of feasting and gladness. We make it a day of feasting by putting into action everything we've learned thus far. God does not put us through trials just to see us struggle. We go through trials so that we grow, so that we mature, that we need to, so that we know how to love one another, that we know how to stand against the enemy, that we know how to stand in the days of adversity. And in verse 18, but the Jews who were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th and on the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting, as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly what has happened here. So this goes into everything that has happened. What has Esther all been about? All of these things is that God protected his people. This is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Thanksgiving and Christmas all together. That's what Purim is all about. Purim was established as a time of remembering victory. We are never just delivered from the enemy, but always delivered unto the king. Never just delivered from the enemy, but always delivered unto our king. And we are never just delivered from sin, but we are delivered unto abundant life. Abundant life. Are we living that abundant life? Are we living abundantly in what God has given us? Just like the Holy Spirit, Mordecai establishes a day of remembrance, a day of Thanksgiving and Christmas, all rolled up together, which we already talked about. And we need to remember, it is the Holy Spirit that will remind us of the victories. When we are in the midst of our challenge, it's the Holy Spirit that reminds us. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us to remind us of what God has done. David said, I will remember, I will remember, I will remember what God has done. I will remember what God has done. I will call to remembrance what God has done, because when I call to remembrance what God has done, it gives me strength to walk through what I'm walking through today. if I will remember, if I will recall to my remembrance what God has done for me in the past. Like I said before, one of the good things about being old is that I can tell you, you are going to be okay. We're going to make it. God is good, and he's good all the time. He's good in our hard times, and he's good in our good times. The problem is that many times in our good times, we forget God. We forget who he is. We forget that he's the provider of everything that we have. And we need to be reminded of the goodness of God. I will remember. God is calling us to remember the good things he's done and to trust him to continue to do a work. And the sharing of that gladness. Let's move on to to establish among themselves 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, verse 22, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, number one, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them. It's been a little over a month that we've been on lockdown. Some people are saying it's going to be 40 days, but we'll see. As the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them. It's a big party. The Purim is a big party. They give gifts. They celebrate. They dress up like Esther and like Haman and like the king and like Mordecai. And they celebrate what God has done. He turned mourning into a holiday, mourning into dancing, that they should make them days of feasting and of joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. The sharing of that gladness is seen as they send gifts to one another. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you." I am giving presents to people. I am giving them what God gave me. I'm passing on to others. It's not regifting. No, you're thinking it's regifting. No, it's not regifting. It is, I'll have to come up with a word for it, but it's giving someone else what I have. When my dad came to know the Lord at the age of 73, he passed away when he was 70 years old, he accepted the Lord. And he looked at my stepmom and me, and he said, "I want what you have." That was the gift that we were able to give to him. "I want what you have." It was a work of the Holy Spirit. Each victory in our lives is meant to be shared. It's most encouraging to hear the testimony of someone else who has walked through it. And the older person can tell the younger person, "You're going to make it. It's going to be good. You've got this. God's got this. You are not walking through this alone." And that we have a comfort in the middle of it. Psalm 145:4 declares that one generation shall praise God's works and acts to another. So I get to declare the acts and the things that God has done to the younger generation. And I am so excited about the opportunity to do that. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and had cast Pur, that is the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, I want to remind you that all of this came out of prayer and fasting. We're going to talk about that in just a second. It all came out of prayer and fasting. When Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter, that is, in writing, that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. This is a recounting of all of the story of everything that had happened. And so they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, of all of this writing, what they had seen concerning this matter and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants, and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept through every generation, in every family, in every province, in every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. You are to pass down this story. You are to pass down the good things that God has done. You are to share with your children the good things that God has done and encourage them to trust in God. Trust when someone comes to you with a problem, encourage them to trust the Lord. Then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with the full authority to confirm this second letter about Purim. And Mordecai, so this second letter was the one that explaining why we're celebrating, the way we're celebrating, when we're going to celebrate it. We are always going to be thankful people, is what this letter said. This is what God did, and we are thankful. And we need to let the generations ahead of us know how thankful we are that God has delivered us from this. And they had full authority to confirm this letter. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth. So they had peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and as they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning the matters of their fasting and lamenting. You see, they brought it up. All of this came out of prayer and fasting. There was a need to get closer to the Lord and to pay closer attention to Him. And so they prayed and they fasted. And we see what came out of that. If God calls you to fast, then do it. Don't do it out of some kind of thing that, oh, I guess I should do that because she said that. I guess we ought to do that. No, do it because God called you to do it and see what God will do. The last time I was fasting, God did something really great. And it's totally between Him and me. Someday I'll be able to share it. God did great things through it. It wasn't what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for a great thing to be done. I just wanted to be closer with the Lord, and I knew if all my attention is on my meals every time, I needed to step away and trust God and pray and seek His face and turn from my wicked ways so that He could hear from heaven and heal our land. And so the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. And we move on to chapter 10. Now in chapter 10, this little three-verse chapter, I find it very interesting. King Ahasuerus imposed a tax on the land and on the islands of the sea with everything that had been going on, with everything that had happened. What happened was they were out of money, and they needed the money to support the kingdom. All those provinces, 127 provinces, it had to come back in. There'd been the war in Greece. There'd been the war that had just gone on right now. And so he imposed this tax. And we might be looking at something a little closer to it. Now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of the greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? They're all written in there, but the only thing that we have an account of is what God did through Mordecai, that they would have success in this time. For Mordecai and the Jew, Mordecai the Jew was second to King Ahasuerus and was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. There's somebody that's missing in this chapter. What's Mordecai's purpose? His purpose is the welfare of the people. May we never lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit is out to do us good, seeking to grow us up that we might be pleasing to the King. To this he had been promised. To this he had been promoted. Mordecai had been promoted to take care of the people. But someone, like I said, someone's missing in chapter 10. Esther's gone. Completely gone. 55 times throughout this book, Esther's name is mentioned, either as in all of her different names. Suddenly at the end, there's no Esther. She's become lost in the King. She's become lost in him. She did what she was asked to do. She moves in total successful ministry. She did what she was asked to do, not something she was comfortable with, but she gathered people together to fast and to pray with her, to help her come up with these ideas and to these actions. And then after it's all over, she steps back and lets the Holy Spirit do its work. She steps back and the King gets the credit, and Mordecai, who we'll say was the action of the Holy Spirit, she did what she was told to do, and the Holy Spirit pointing to the King saying, "All glory and honor and power and might and majesty be unto thee, O God, and to your Christ, both now and forever." God has done great things as we've gone through this book. It is not by chance that we have been going through Ruth and Esther. It is not by chance that we have been looking at these particular books with these particular things. We are in the midst of a crisis today. It's no surprise to you that it would be mentioned. Ask God what part you are to play in it. What part are you to play in this deliverance? Deliverance, the annihilation of this virus. What part do you play in it? And you might be playing the part of fasting and praying for the people. God is doing a work in our land. He's doing a work in this world. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. Let's have him find us ready and waiting for him. The next study, we're going to review these two books, and I can't wait to get into all the things with that. God is doing a great work, and he's doing a great work in you. He's doing a great work in you, and you think, these days I'm going through, these days I can't make it through this day. Or you're really settled in. Either way, God is continually at work in you. He is your refuge, your fortress, your strong tower. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So I say to you, do not lose heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. This book of Esther has brought us to this place today where they fought a war and they stood strong and they had to fight it longer than they expected. But they didn't lose heart. They continued to fight against evil. They continued to fight the fight. Don't lose heart. God has got you. He loves you. He has you, his arms wrapped around you. You can't keep his arms off you. You can't keep him from hugging you. He loves you. And so, Father God, Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, for your will to be accomplished in our lives today. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, Lord. Let me not grow weary in well-doing. I pray, Father, for your direction. I pray, Father, for us today, all of us today, to have you walking with us, to hear your voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Oh, Lord, this whole book, the trials of people walking through hard stuff. You knew what was right for us to study, Lord. You knew what we were supposed to be learning about. And I thank you, Lord, that you took us to this place. And we want you to be glorified. We want you to be lifted up, Lord. And we look forward to seeing you face to face, Lord. You promised to come back. You said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Lord Jesus, our trust is in you, in nothing else. Thank you for creating in us a strength, Lord, that couldn't have been made any other way. Thank you, Lord. Please bless the ladies. Please bless the people listening to this right now. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would direct their steps. Father, that you would cause them to lean into you, Lord. To lean into the wind. Lean into you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for every one of them. And let them know your love for them right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you'll see me next week. Can't wait. God bless you guys. Keep doing great things for God as you just continue to move through all of this. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.